Good morning, everybody. My name is Clayton. I'm the lead pastor here at Central. I'm glad you guys are with us. If you're watching online, let me start off by asking this question. How many of y'all were you're just a bad kid growing up? Anybody want to admit that you're a bad? Yeah, David. Anybody else bad kids? I know more of you are bad. We're bad kids. When I was growing up, I wasn't necessarily a bad kid. I was just like a driven kid, but I was also really rebellious at the same time. And so that's a bad combination. And the truth is, I haven't changed. Okay, if you know me, still haven't changed. Kind of rebellious, but most of us, when we were younger and we got in trouble, we get spanked or get punished or something like that. And honestly, my mom never really had to spank me or ground me. She just gave me the look. You know the look, right? The look that will just, it'll crumble you to your knees. I'm still scared today of the look that my mom would give me. It was the look of disappointment in her eyes of what I had done. And it still affects me to today. And I think it's because moms know us best. They know what will get to us and will speak to us the best. And so today, we're going to look at another mom. It was Jesus's mother. And just like we've been doing over last week and beginning again this week, we're looking at the Christmas story through the eyes of people who were there. And so today, we're looking at the Christmas story through the eyes of Jesus' mother, who is Mary. The woman whose yes, when God called her, changed the world. But I think that if she were around today, she'd be kind of shocked with actually how we kind of view her and we think about her. You see, throughout Christian history, you know, people have looked at Mary in a different kind of light. She's been exalted way beyond who she actually is. She's someone that even some people pray to because they think that she has this special access to God. And so if you pray to Mary, then your prayers will be answered. Some people have even in the Middle Ages in paintings, they've actually placed Mary on the throne, on this extra wide throne where Jesus is on, and they put Mary right next to Jesus, almost like she is co-ruling the universe with Jesus. But look, let me tell you this, that is nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Mary was sinless. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that she is the queen of heaven, as some people would refer her as. You see, she is not a super saint. She's just like you and me. She's a normal person. She is a flawed person. And God used her in incredible ways. And so today, we're going to look at her story, look at the Christmas story through her eyes. And it's a message today for all the ladies in this room or ladies watching online. Last week, we talked to all the guys. We looked at Joseph's story. And we got to see how he made some difficult decisions and how he led his family well. Well, today, we're going to look at Mary, how she can be the hero for all of the female followers of Jesus. And let me just tell you, I'm super scared right now, okay? Being a guy up here, gonna be like, hey, all right, ladies, I got a sermon for you. I've been planning this my whole life. So y'all can pray for me, guys, in the room. But we're gonna look at Mary's story. And there's something that I noticed about Mary, just like we noticed about Joseph. You see, Mary is the woman that women must be. We looked last week about Joseph, how Joseph was the man that men must be. Well, Mary, in the same way, is who we ought to want to be like. So let's go to her story in the Gospel of Luke. We'll be in chapter 1. We'll kind of jump into chapter 2 again. You open up in the Bible. We'll start in verse 26, but it'll be up on the screen behind me. And here's how it goes. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And it says the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, do not be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid. Why? For you have found favor with God. Now listen, here's what's about to happen, okay? So she's like, what does this mean? And the angel's about to tell her something crazy. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. This is the first time in all of human history and the last time in all of human history that this kind of message was given to someone. She received this crazy message. And we're not going to look really at the message that is given to her today. We're going to look at how she actually responded to that message, because how she responded can speak volumes to all of us. Look what happens in the next couple verses. So Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not had sexual relations with a man?" And the angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Mary's like, how in the world can this be? And the reason she was saying that is not just because she's like, hey, I'm still a virgin, I can't actually have a child, but it's also because of who she was and where she was from. You see, she was from Nazareth, and Nazareth was just, it wasn't very impressive. It was kind of like being from Nevada. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody from Nevada? Anybody? Sorry. All right, that landed all three services. No one's from Nevada in our church, okay? Oh, whew, I dodged a bullet there. I don't know. I just picked a kind of a no-name place, right? And that's what Nazareth was like. Everybody would look at Nazareth as, well, you know, nothing ever good comes from that, or importance comes from that just backwoods kind of place. That's where Mary was from. She was just this teenage girl with no status. And so out of all the people back then, she was at the bottom of the rung when it came to being a candidate for something of greatness. So if you're taking notes today, we're going to look at some things that Mary teaches us. And the first thing that I recognize here is that Mary was ordinary. And that's really good news. You see, that's why God ended up using her. God loves to use the ordinary to do extraordinary things. And she asks, how in the world can this be? And the angel does something pretty cool, says something in the next couple of verses, gives her some evidence of just what God is up to. How in the world can this actually happen? And the angel says, let me give you an example of what God is up to. He says this, consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age. Talking about John the Baptist. And this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. She couldn't have any kids. And I love what the angel says next. He says this to answer her, how can this be? And he says, for nothing will be impossible with God. In other words, what God is saying is, look, you may feel small, you may feel inadequate, but look, God is not small. God is up to something, and he can do some incredible things through ordinary people. And I hope that's some encouragement for all of us today, especially for ladies in the room, because I get it. You're wearing so many different hats, and you're juggling so many things and trying to manage things, and you're trying to excel in your own personal life. Some of you are trying to excel professionally. You're trying to excel as a mother, as a wife, as a grandmother, as a caregiver, as a sister. There's so many things that you're trying to do all at once, and it can be overwhelming. But the truth is, God does extraordinary things to just normal people. And that's what he does for Mary. And then when Mary hears this, when Mary recognizes that she's been blessed, she does something really important. She doesn't puff herself up. Instead, she bows down. And I don't know about you, but if I had heard how favored I was going to be and how for the rest of human history, people are going to talk about me and call me blessed and all these things, and I was going to be a privileged person in human history, man, I'm telling you, I would probably want other people to know about it, okay? And how good I am and those kind of things. But that's not what Mary does. Instead of being puffed up, Mary's response is really cool because she actually bows down. Look at the very next verse, verse 38. Here's her response when the angel says, this is what God's going to do. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said. In other words, she is saying, God, I'm ready. Let's do this. I don't understand the future. I've got my own plans, but all of a sudden you called me to something different. I'm going to trust you in the middle of it. And here's what Mary does. Mary chose surrender when God chose her. That's something important to remember, that she chose to surrender her life when God says, I've got something special for you. At 14 years old, she does that. She could have chosen pride, but she chose humility, which is actually kind of like a superpower today. Even today, that a lot of us, we don't use very well. God can use humility to do some incredible things in people's lives. And so look, if you want to be used by God, if you want your life to count, it can't be about you. Your life cannot be just about you. You have to embrace humility. God uses people who are humble. Humility is you opening up your hands and saying, God, I got great plans for my life, but you got some different plans. I sense you're opening up doors. I sense you're closing up doors. I don't understand all these things, but God, I am yours. Do what you want. That is humility. And God takes people that do that and does incredible things. And he does that in Mary's life. And Mary responds in another way. She gets out her pen and paper, and she writes one of the most famous songs in the Bible. She writes this song we call a Mary's Magnificat. That's just a Latin term for magnify, okay? And so she writes this song as a response to what God has done. And honestly, it's more than a song. It's actually like a declaration from her saying, my God is bigger than my problems. My God is bigger than my inabilities. My God is bigger than the fear that I have, that how in the world can this be? How am I even called to do this? God is bigger than all of those things. And I would like to sing it to you. Just kidding, I'm not going to sing it. All right, not going to sing it. I don't know how it goes. I just got the words. I just got the lyrics here. We're going to look at the lyrics. Okay, here's what it says. Y'all do not want to hear that. Like, we would just clear this place out. We'd be done. We'd pray, get out of here. So here's what it says. She says, my soul, get this, my soul magnifies the Lord. This is her response. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Why? Because he looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, not because of great things I've done, but because of this, because the mighty one has done great things for me. And his name is holy. And then she goes on to describe ways that he has done great things. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He's done a mighty deed with his arms. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he spoke to our ancestors. Why is this important? I don't know if you caught this, but Mary does something really simple. Her response when God called her, she worshiped. She worshiped God. Mary was a woman of worship. That's who she was. She didn't ignore the reality of the situation. She didn't, like, you know, hide from it. She didn't bury her head in the sand. She understood the task that was in front of her. She didn't hide from reality. She just lifted up her hands to the one who holds reality, right? She lifted up her hands to God himself, the one who rules reality. And look, the truth is this morning is that when you and I worship, that's what we do. We lift up our focus above what overwhelms us and the problems we have of the day. The things that we worry about, it's an opportunity to say, God, you're in control. I trust you. I trust you. And this is exactly what Mary does. But she also does something that's kind of brilliant in the middle of this. You see, there's all this Old Testament scripture within this song. You're like, where did she get all of this imagery and the things that she said? It's like word from word, all these different places of scripture. And one of the main places this comes from is 1 Samuel chapter 2, where there was another lady named Hannah. And Hannah writes this song, and Mary kind of copies the song after Hannah. You see, Hannah was just like Mary in a way that God did something incredible in her life. Hannah couldn't have kids. And she prayed and prayed and prayed, and all of a sudden God blessed her with a son named Samuel. Samuel goes on to be the prophet while David was on his throne. So while all that's going on, all the stories of King David, Samuel is the prophet leading God's people spiritually. And his mom was Hannah. And Hannah had written this song, and Mary had evidently taken some things that Hannah had. And she had taken other parts of scripture, and she writes this incredible song. And it teaches us another thing about Mary. You see, Mary, she evidently soaked up Scripture. Like, she was in the Word, guys. I mean, if you squeezed Mary's heart, what would come out would be Scripture. Would be God's Word. The truths that she knew from Scripture. She had her Bible out. She had her Old Testament out. And she actually knew it. She had spent time in God's Word looking up the truths that God has. Look, here's the truth, guys. A lot of us, we spend a lot of our time soaking up other things. Things that will never satisfy us. Things we hope will satisfy us. Things we think will make us happy and bring joy in our lives. But there's only one thing that will do that. It's God and His Word, His truths. And here's something else I've realized about Scripture, why it's so important. Look, it'll never return void. It'll never be a waste of time. But yeah, we waste our time on so many things, right? All you got to do is look at your screen time on your phone, right? And you know how much time we waste on things that don't really matter. And God says, look, I'll bless you. I'll do some incredible things, but you got to be in my Word. It's the way we know Him. It's the way we follow Him. And this is exactly what Mary does. And she was evidently in God's Word so much that when she had this moment of worship, it all just came flowing out. What a great lesson for all of us. Here's something else that we see in the middle of this song as well. In fact, we got to go back to the beginning of the song. There's something I don't want us to miss. Something we might just skip over. But the last or the very first two verses, here's what it says. She starts off and says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in," get this, "in God my Savior." Here's what this means. Mary was not perfect. She was not sinless. She didn't have it all together. She was not godlike. She was not someone to be worshipped or prayed to. Yes, she was blessed, but she is no better than you and I. She's just like you and I, which teaches us something here, that Mary, just like you and I, still needed a Savior. I think that's so important. Just because she was the mother of Jesus, the Savior of the world, she still needed to put her faith and trust in Him. Just like us, she needed forgiveness. Just like us, she needed redemption. She needed a rescue. And the truth this morning is that if Mary needs a Savior, you and I definitely need a Savior as well. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, a famous verse, says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us, Mary included, and you. I see you out there, okay? Every one of us have fallen short of what God requires from all of us. We've messed up. We're separated from Him. Romans 6:23 is kind of the other part of that. It's the hope that God gives us. It says, yeah, the wages of sin is death, but there is a gift that God gives us. And the gift is eternal life, spending time with Him for all of eternity. And it comes through Jesus. What He did on the cross, He died and paid for your sins. And look, He died and paid for Mary's sins as well. Mary needed a Savior just like you and I do as well. If you think about this, Mary got to experience the birth of Jesus. But you know what else she got to experience? His death as well. She experienced Jesus' death. She was there at the birth, but she was also on that hill, on her knees, while her son was right next to her up on the cross, dying for your sins, but also for her sins. In fact, in the story, she hears about it. She knows that it's coming. Because Simeon, this kind of this prophet guy, they take Jesus to the temple after he's 40 days old. And there's this guy that meets them there. And he says something to Mary. Here's what he says. He says, "Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be opposed." Like, it's not going to be pretty, okay? People are not going to like it. But look what verse 35 says. He also says, he talks to Mary, he says, "And a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many, many hearts may be revealed." A sword was going to pierce your soul. What does that mean? It means you're really going to be killed by the sword. It's not what it's talking about. It's talking about you're going to watch your son die. You're going to watch him die. So I was thinking about this. How does like an ordinary, no name, from nowhere young girl, how does she navigate through all of this? Think about putting yourself in her shoes. How does she navigate through the angel appearing, saying this is what's going to happen? She's so confused about it. How does she navigate through the pregnancy and all the social stuff and the problems with that? How does she navigate through the traveling and through the birth and through the miracles and being on the run for several years? How does she navigate raising a perfect son? You know what I'm talking about? Actually, that might be pretty easy, okay? Yeah. But like the expectations of trying to protect and provide for the Son of God. Can you imagine her having to go through all that? How does she navigate that? And how does she navigate watching her son be killed? How does she do that? Well, Luke tells us. In fact, in Luke chapter 2, if you go back a couple verses to verse 19, there is this key, this secret to all of this, how Mary handles all of this. Here's what it says. It says, but Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. That's what Mary did. So let's talk about this. Ladies, I have a wife and a 17-year-old daughter. I know how difficult it is. Like, I do not want your job, okay? I'm like, God, thank you so much. I'm a man. Anybody ever prayed that prayer? Sorry, is that just me? Okay, yeah. Noah's like, yes, yeah. I'm right with you. Like, I know how difficult it is. I know what you're going through. All the things, all the hats you're wearing, all the plates that you're spinning, all the balls that you're trying to juggle, trying to be a mom and to be a grandma and be a wife and an employee or a business owner, trying to be a chauffeur, trying to be a provider, be a homemaker, trying to be a friend, trying to be all things to all people. You know who is all things to all people? Only God, okay? And yet we try to be like that. We try to take all those things on, and you're worried and you're confused and you don't feel like you're good enough. You want to know the secret to dealing with all that? It's treasuring up what God has already done. I think sometimes we're so worried about the moment. We're so worried about the future because we forget just how good God has been to us. Those moments where you feel like there's no way I can get through this. God, I can't believe this is happening to me. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't imagine I'm having to deal with this and going through it. And all of a sudden, God provides a way through it. He doesn't take all the pain away in this life. He never promises that, but he does promise his presence. And sometimes what we need to do is we need to just take a moment and step back and treasure all the things that God has done. What it does, it helps us to go through it with confidence, the present and the future. You see, not just treasuring up what God's done, but we need to also do what Mary does. She meditates on what God is doing. Not just what he's done, but what he's actually doing. You see, Mary, she slowed down. She savored God's work. Like, I can't believe this is happening. She took a step back and she reflected deeply on the things that God had done, but also what God was promising to do in our life. And here's what it did. It gave her the secret to navigating through this life. The secret is spiritual strength. It gave her this spiritual strength to survive and also thrive. And so this is my encouragement to all the ladies. This is a simple message today, that this week, I would encourage you to do a couple things. First is actually treasure what God has done. One of the easiest ways you can do that is actually just take a moment and record, write it down. Okay? Type it out or something. Sometimes we just kind of push those things in the back of our memory, all the ways that God has provided and protected and blessed and saved, all those things. And sometimes we just need to write those things down and realize that just like Mary, you too have been favored. You too have been blessed. But also, we need to take a moment, we need to meditate on what God is actually up to right now. The only way you can meditate is you got to take the noise out. You got to put some things aside. You got to talk to your husband. You got to talk to your kids and say, look, time out. I need a moment. Here's what's going to happen this week. I'm going to take some time, a little bit of time, get away from all the noise, get away from the social media, get away from the tasks, get away from the distraction, and just sit with God. I'm telling you, it will change your life. It can impact you in so many ways. provide that spiritual strength of spending time with God, meditating on his word, and meditating on what he is actually up to in your life. Look, this is a message for all of us too, to commit our lives to God just like Mary did, to commit to living like she did. God chose her, and she recognized just how favored she was. Do you recognize that? You recognize how much God loves you, that he sent his son to die for you, and he chose you to hear this message and to choose him back. Mary recognized that. We need to recognize that as well. After she did, she surrendered to God's plans. You and I need to do the same thing. And then she worshiped God in a renewed and fresh way. You and I need to do the same thing. Then she soaked up scripture. It wasn't something that was collecting dust on the shelves. She was spending time in God's word, and it showed, especially when she needed spiritual encouragement. How are you spending your time in God's word? Are you listening to it? You put on your AirPods and listening to his word? Are you have a good devotion? Or you have a good Bible that you're reading and gleaning truths that can sustain you in this life? And then ultimately, you know what she did? She followed her own son. Like, there came a time that she had to choose Jesus. Jesus' brothers and sisters did not for a time. Do you know that? The Bible says that they were like, "Now you're not the guy. You're not it." But Mary chose Jesus to be her Savior, not just her son. Look, what could God do in your life, in your ordinary Nawada life? What could he do if you surrendered to him and you gave the same yes that Mary did? I think he could do some incredible things through you. He loves to do that in ordinary people. Here's what I want to do. Here's how I want to end this service. I'm going to ask all the ladies to stand. So y'all go ahead and ladies, every lady, go ahead and stand up, okay? Doesn't matter how old you are, you stand up. Last week, we had all the guys stand up. Well, this week, we're gonna pray for all the ladies in this room. And so Noah, I'm going to invite Noah to come up here. Microphone's down there, buddy. I'm going to ask Noah to just take a moment, and he's going to lead all of us men in praying for all of you ladies. I can't imagine what you're going through, but God knows. Will you trust him? Will you rely on him? Will you commit to being like Mary? Let's take a moment, all of us guys, and let's say a prayer for all the ladies in this room. Noah, would you lead us?
All right, let's pray. God, we come today as the men out of this room, humbling ourselves, saying that maybe we don't have all of the advice. Maybe we don't have all the tools to fix it, but we're asking you to do what only you can do. God, we're lifting up the women in this room to say, God, be with the teenage girl that's struggling with self-worth, and the young woman that's needing direction. God, the mom that's needing a break, the wife that's desiring connection with her husband. God, the women that are juggling so many things, that are overwhelmed and seeking you for so many different reasons. God, help these women to be women of worship, desiring scripture daily, putting you first. Prompt their hearts to look for you in all circumstances, to glean what only they can glean from you, God. God, we pray that you will eliminate the barriers between your voice and their ears. God, may their hearts jump for joy to lean into you, to search for you in every piece of their life. Let their husbands and their kids and their coworkers and their friends and even strangers pour into them as they look to you. Let them be a beacon of hope to the hopeless and to rise above what they even think of themselves to accomplish great works for you in your name, God. God, we ask all of these bold things because you love these women. and you are pursuing them, and you are wanting them to lean on you. So God, hear this today, that we lay down our pride and our hurt and our struggles at your feet, knowing that you can do an amazing work in and through these women. God, we can't accomplish anything without your Spirit, without your Son. So God, prompt us like only you can. God, we commit to giving you all the glory and all the praise forever and always. Amen.